listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Dr. Melody Fox right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I am your host, Dr. Melody Fox, and usually Alan Cardoza is with me today, but in his stead, we have one of his cohorts. We have Logan Clark. Welcome back to our show, Logan.
Hello. Thank you very much.
And we're so happy that you're here with us, and I think I have your mic up now. There we go.
Okay.
Yeah, that works a lot better. Well, every year and every week, we bring you our guests, you know, bring you our listeners, guests that can inspire, educate, and entertain while we're bringing answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. And we address issues such as locating your runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and many great ways to keep your family mentally, physically, and spiritually sound. And with Alan and I, and Logan too, having over 30 years experience working with families in crisis, we've all been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. And today we continue to bring you some of these incredibly talented and caring people each week as we bring you Answers for the Family. And before we get to our guest, Logan, I wanted to say thank you so much for coming in and filling in for Alan. I'm just thrilled that you're here today with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's always enjoyable to be here.
Well, I think it's important that you're here too because you're a father.
Oh, yes.
And yes. Our topic today is actually we're going to be talking to one of America's best lawyers by Forbes Radio, family law attorney Jeffrey Living. And he actually recently hit number one on Amazon's best-selling authors list for his groundbreaking new book called Father's Rights. He also has authored Divorce Wars and another acclaimed new book called How to Be a Good Divorced Dad. Now, I don't know if you're a divorced dad or one-time dad or what's going on with you, Logan.
I'm a divorced dad. I'm fortunate my ex-wife is my best friend.
Well, that makes a big difference.
Yeah, real close with the family. I also did, I represented fathers for many years as a licensed private detective.
Oh, great.
In child custody matters and stuff.
Sure.
I would represent the father many times, especially when the child was stolen by the mother.
Well, I'm sure Mr. Leaving has heard a lot of those stories, and I'd like to welcome now Jeffrey Leaving. Thank you so much for joining us to Answers for the Family.
Oh, thank you, and it's an honor to be on your show.
Well, we're excited to have you here, and I have to tell you, I was looking at your website the other day, and I think it's such a wealth of information on your website. So I do want to make sure that we give out your website, which is dadsrights.com, which is probably very apropos. And so if anybody wants information about dad's rights, that's where to go. Now, you specialize in divorced dads, parents' custody issues, and everything else. You know, and you just wrote this wonderful new book, which I just adored, Father's Rights, because in my private practice, I get a lot of divorced dads, and the one thing they tear up on is that they're not able to see their child as often as they could, even if they have an agreement with their ex-wives.
Yeah, visitation interference and parental alienation hurt a lot of dads. It's just terrible. And my new book, How to Be a Good Divorced Dad, is actually a sequel to my first book, even though How to Be a Good Divorced Dad is my third book. And my first book, Father's Rights, is my life's work. But basically, parental alienation is terrible, and I represent a lot of dads. Even though I'm based out of Chicago, I represent a lot of dads all over the country. And this book is endorsed by the Archdiocese of Chicago, Cardinal Francis George, and I received a nice endorsement from President Obama. But it's very difficult because father absence is a growing problem because of a myriad of factors, gender bias, vindictive spouses, legal trickery, and all of these conspire to separate fathers from their children. Mm-hmm. But this new book can help these dads not give up hope and hopefully reconnect with their children. And my website, dadsrights.com, dadsrights.com, has a lot of good information to help dads so they don't give up hope. And it's a problem because right now in the U.S., 24 million children live absent their biological father, and children who do live absent their biological father are more likely to be poor, use drugs, mm-hmm. and experience educational problems.
Yeah, along those lines, I worked for years for several group homes, and one of the things I saw most of the kids in the group homes are ended up in probation, all had fathers who were absent, that weren't involved in their family, either because the father didn't want to be involved or the mother never let them see their father.
Yeah, exactly. And it's very, very troubling. And if you look at the violence, the recent wave of violence, especially in Chicago, I believe it, a lot of it is directly related to father absence, because the most reliable predictor of crime in America is father absence. And mm-hmm. it's just terrible, terrible in Chicago. And I know it's a big problem in St. Louis and other major cities.
Oh, all over the world, I think.
I think one of the biggest problems that I've run across in 35 years of doing this is the alienation that when and not just the mothers do this, but on the whole, mothers do more than men, certainly. They will alienate the father to the point that when they're losing the battle, they will come up with the standard, oh, well, the child was molested by the father. And they'll come up with things that are not true in any way, shape, or form. And it the fight against the father is so stacked against him already, the minute somebody says, even suggests molestation, that the father is almost, you know, just held away from the family and held away from the children. And it happens all the time.
And do you see that in your practice, Mr. Levy?
Yes, I do, and this is a very terrible area to work in, where the ultimate victims are the children. I remember one case I worked on where the father was falsely accused of abuse. I was representing the father. It was a terrible case. And at the end of the case, the judge found that my client was innocent of the charges, and he never abused his child, and he supervised my client's visitation rights with his own child, and the judge said this was to protect my client from future false child abuse allegations. And it was terrible, because even though I won the trial, and thank God I won the trial, because if I didn't, my client probably would have eventually ended up in prison for a crime he never committed. But the problem was the supervision order to protect my client from future false abuse allegations basically assisted the mother in her parental alienation her scheme, which was based on her being very vindictive, because the child then would view the dad, his own father, as a common criminal, because the child was probably thinking, why does dad have to be supervised while he's visiting?
Right.
So the mother, even though she concocted these false abuse allegations, and even though I won the trial, she succeeded in putting together a supervised visitation setting. And this vindictive parental alienation sets up children as targets looking for arrows, and emotionally it's traumatizing for children.
Oh, absolutely.
There's even an Underground Railroad. They call it the Underground Railroad, and where these women will transfer these other women with children, the minute that abuse is even suggested, no proof whatsoever. It's called the Underground Railroad, and going back to the slave days, and they will transport these women and their children and hide them from the father all across the United States. They work at nighttime. I mean, it's like going after drug smugglers. It is so underground and so protected. It's unbelievable. Have you heard about it, Jeffrey, the Underground?
Yes, I have, and I've been retained by many fathers in terrible situations to recover their children. And I've worked on international cases. One case I worked on that was very significant to me was the case where I helped reunite Ilian Gonzalez with his father in Cuba. And that really wasn't the Underground Railroad, but it was similar in that case had to do with a mother and her boyfriend who tried to take the child from Cuba to the U.S., right. Obviously for freedom, but it didn't work because the mother drowned en route to the U.S.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just curious. I mean, you speak with such passion, and I'm just wondering, what got you interested in working with fathers' rights?
Well, I've been licensed to practice law, and I've been licensed for a long time, since 1979. And my interest was sparked by many factors and challenges. I was interested in this area before I was even a lawyer. And as a lawyer, I developed a stronger interest because of the terrible bias against fathers. And I'm a divorced father myself, which also motivated me to work in this area and motivated me to co-author the joint custody law in Illinois, which I personally benefited from. I share joint custody with my ex-wife of my daughter. And if I hadn't co-authored that law, maybe I wouldn't have benefited from it. But this is an important area, and a lot of cases I worked on early on as a young lawyer opened my eyes to the need to pursue justice for these dads. I represented one father in a terrible case where the mother, while under the influence of cocaine and alcohol, smashed up the vehicle she was driving, causing permanent brain damage to their baby, their little baby, and that child ended up in Cook County Hospital with permanent brain damage. And I'll never forget walking into court, and the judge didn't want to give custody to the dad, and I believe it was because of his gender, and there was no other alternative because the mother was criminally charged. She caused the accident while under the influence of illegal drugs, cocaine and alcohol. And how in the world could a judge not give custody to the dad in a situation like that? But gender bias is very poisonous.
I see it a lot of times in working with couples or those going through custody or who's trying to get custody. And, you know, definitely the leaning is towards the mom. And I'm all for the best interest of the child. I don't really care if it's the mom or the dad, but I think both need to be involved in the child's life. And just speaking from being a woman myself and also working with girls for so long, that relationship with their father is the most important relationship they will ever have in their entire life. That's what's going to set them up to have good relationships with men in their future.
Yeah, exactly. And what's important is that in national surveys, young men are now placing fatherhood at the top of their list of priorities, which is important because a lot of young fathers want a parent. But the problem is that the system doesn't always support them, and a lot of these young men are not being provided the resources they need to reengage and remain in the lives of their children. They're very, very unfortunate, but there is a good organization out there, the Fatherhood Educational Institute, that does a lot of good work for fathers, indigent fathers, ex-offender fathers, military fathers, fathers from all walks of life. And I'm a big supporter of the Fatherhood Educational Institute, and I've donated money to them. I've made significant charitable contributions to the Fatherhood Educational Institute. And if anybody is interested, you could always go online. Their website is fatherhood-edu.org. It's a great organization, fatherhood-edu.org, and they do a lot of good work for fathers.
Well, if their website's anything like yours, it's going to be full of great information. I loved your website. I've got several clients that I want to refer to your website as it is, because I think there's a lot of good information there. Now, your new book, How to Be a Good Divorced Dad, you know, what are the most important aspects of being a good divorced dad?
The most important aspect is never giving up hope when you're fighting for the safety of your children. Never giving up hope. And it's very difficult because there are dads that sometimes give up hope because they can't maintain the fortitude, the fight. It's a tough battle not to give up. But when your children and their future is hanging in the balance, you can't walk away. And it's difficult because of the gender bias, the legal trickery, the guilt, the anger, the financial problems, the false orders of protection that are often entered against fathers that put their liberty at risk. A lot of dads face jail time because of false allegations. And it's tough on these dads not to give up, but they have to. They can't give up. And in my book, I talk about how to avoid obstacles and identify factors that can actually drive a wedge between fathers and their children. And I also talk about children based on different age groupings, so fathers know the different challenges as parents based on the ages of their children. For instance, if a dad has a young child who's only 7 years old, children that are in that age group, especially between 6 to 9, possess some understanding of what divorce means, but because of this understanding, they often experience what psychologists term as a loyalty conflict, and they're torn between loyalty to one parent versus the other. Mm-hmm. And this conflict can be very, very serious and harmful to children. It could cause boys, for instance, to act out aggressively toward their mothers, even unconsciously. So I lay out how divorce and parental conflict and breakup can affect children of every age group, even under 5.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think one of the key things, too, is that I always try to tell the parents, do not put your spouse down, regardless of what side you're on, whether it's the father you're talking about or the mother you're talking about. Don't talk to your children and talk down about the father. Don't talk down about the mother. The children it'll never work, no matter what you do, no matter how much brainwashing, it'll temporarily work on them, but it will eventually confuse them, totally mess up their minds, and later on in life, they'll wind up hating that parent.
I agree 100%.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm curious, too, how I deal with a lot of fathers or divorced fathers and that don't have primary custody of their children, and I was curious, how important is it for a divorced couple to get in writing through a court their visitation? Because what I'm finding is they'll agree outside the court what the visitation will be, and it'll go okay for a few months or a couple years, but then all of a sudden, oh, well, he can't come to see you on that weekend. I'm going to take him out of town. No, he's not busy that weekend. He's got a birthday party. Oh, you know, she's got something else going on, wants to go on a date, so she can't come over to your house. So the fathers end up losing their visitation and losing their weekends or their days with their children. So how important is it to actually go to court and put a formal custody agreement together?
It's critical to have custody, parenting, or visitation rights in writing, because in this gender-biased system, if a father doesn't have specific parenting time or specific visitation rights in a court order in writing, he's often at the mercy of the mother, whether he even has a relationship with his own children or whether he can even talk to his children on the phone during his birthday or their birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
You need specific rights, visitation, in writing. So, if it's not in writing, it has to be specific. A lot of dads come to me with reasonable visitation or reasonable parenting time, and then they wonder why the police won't help them, the courts won't help them, because reasonable is ambiguous, and it can be interpreted differently by 2 or 3 different judges or police officers. You have specific visitation rights, it's easy to interpret. If you get to pick up your child Thursday night, and you have your child from Thursday night to Monday morning, anybody understands that what that court order means. But if it's reasonable, it becomes so ambiguous, it's hard to enforce, and you can end up with nothing, with no contact with your children.
Children need consistency. They need to know that dad's coming every other Thursday, every other Friday, every other weekend, whatever. They need consistency. That's why most children would rather have, even though they don't say so, they'd rather have lunch or dinner at a certain time, sit down with the family. And the consistency of things, the family, they want discipline. They want consistency in their life.
Well, and also to know that the father's going to show up when he says he does. I mean, that's huge in developing trust with other people.
Yep.
And that you know that you're important enough that, you know, the parents that are supposed to love you, first and foremost, will actually be there for you no matter what.
But most of the time, and I've been doing this for 30, I get involved, like attorneys do, like Jeffrey does. I mean, you get involved in the fight. I mean the fight between the husband and the wife, and it becomes about them. It is mm-hmm. not about the children. It's all about them. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have the children. They'll be better off with me. I want them so that you don't have them. Mm-hmm. It all becomes a personal vendetta, mm-hmm. and no matter how much they say, I cannot believe how many people steal their children, parental abduction, and they swear to God they are doing it for the child. Mm-hmm. It's better for the child. Never is it better to kidnap your child and take them away from mm-hmm. the other parent. It is absolute. I did one time where one parent told the children that the mother was dead. The wow. mother was dead. Actually went and visited a grave. They wow. actually went and visited a grave in Arizona. Imagine when I showed up with mom.
Wow.
At the door.
Yeah, I mean, that's just mind-boggling that people
talk
would
about
play those games
yeah.
with their children. I'm just, you know, Dr. Levine, or Mr. Levine, well, you have a doctorate in law, so. But I'm just curious on, you know, along those lines, you know, what can fathers do or parents do in general when they're going through their divorce? What steps can they take to make sure that these things aren't happening?
Well, I look at every case on a case-by-case basis, but in cases where there's a possibility of terrible parental alienation or an abduction or a kidnapping or a parent taking a child underground, I really have to critically analyze that case. I worked on one case where the mother had abducted the child and taken the child from Chicago to Oslo, Norway. Now, the attorney who worked on the case before me must have been a nincompoop because he never went to court, never got an injunction enjoining the mother from leaving the United States, never did anything to secure the child's passport, nothing. And that, in my opinion, enabled the mother to take the child out of the United States. Because of that, the father, who was smart enough to fire this lawyer and hire me, brought a mess to me because I had to function as a cleanup man and clean up another lawyer's mess. But I was able to clean it up, thank God, and reunite the father with his child. Mm-hmm. But the key here is in handling these types of potentially horrific cases, lawyers really have to be on their game, on top of their game, mm-hmm. or children can end up eaten up in the system and lost forever in another country. These are these parental kidnapping cases, especially international kidnapping mm-hmm. cases, are very, very complicated. And a father, and it doesn't matter, it could be a mother, it's not gender specific, mm-hmm. Really needs to have somebody who can handle this type of work. It's similar to a doctor. If you have a problem with your heart, you're not going to go to a general practitioner or a foot doctor. Mm-hmm. You're going to go to a specialist.
Mm-hmm. I specialize in international parental abductions. I've done it for 35 years. Other detectives yeah. come to me. I've gotten them out of Sudan. I've gotten them out of all over the Middle East, mm-hmm. out of Asia, Philippines, you name it, Yemen.
Yeah. And what's amazing is I don't think people understand how common this is. It's more common than people talk about. And even if they don't take them to another country, I hear people agree upon visitations, but then the custodial parent will move to another state, making mm-hmm. it almost impossible for that other parent, that father, to have an ongoing relationship.
Yeah. And there's tricks in the law. There's tricks that you can do. There's things you can do to protect against it. And unfortunately, the Hague Treaty is not worth the paper it's written on. I've done international cases for so long. I mean, you cannot. There are so many loopholes in the Hague Treaty on getting children back. I've never personally in 35 years, never, ever seen anyone succeed in retrieving a child through the legal means of the Hague Treaty. I've gone over and kidnapped them back and done it successfully many, many times, but you don't get them back through the Hague Treaty.
Has that been your experience?
Well, actually, the reason that's probably been your experience, because you've probably been working with attorneys that have difficulty in this practice area, but I have successfully recovered children for my clients through the Hague.
Uh-huh. How many years did it take? How many years did it take?
Well, I had one father. It took me about a year, and he was from Poland, and he came to the U.S., and after about And after some tough litigation, I remember meeting him at the airport, and he got on a plane and went back to Poland with his two daughters. Another father flew in and from Mexico, and I was able to reunite him with his boy, and he's
back
in Mexico.
Yeah, but that's here in the United States. You're dealing with a country that has some common sense.
Okay.
That's true.
It is. It's true.
Well, everybody has their own experiences here, it sounds like, too. But I want to get back to, you know...
These hate cases are real tough, and a lot of lawyers don't know how to handle them, and a lot of lawyers don't realize how important it is sometimes to get a detective that's skilled in this area. Mm-hmm. For instance, the guest we have on now appears to be highly skilled in this very complicated area. A lot of lawyers won't even use detectives because they know so little. They don't realize how important it is to get a good detective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it all works together. But if we get back to being back here in the United States and talking about the visitation of father's rights, like during a divorce hearing, you know, what are some, you know, advice that you would give the fathers to try to gain more custody of their child?
It's the first thing they should do is not leave the home and leave the mother in the home with the children, believing that they're going to be able to come back in a month.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they try and come back, usually the locks are changed. And then when they try and force their way in, they end up dealing with an order of protection and often end up arrested.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to be very, very careful in leaving. That's critical. In my book, How to Be a Good Divorced Dad, which is a sequel to Father's Rights, I talk about legal remedies and how the court can help you and your children. And often fathers don't believe that the courts can help them because they have not in many horrific situations, but with the right lawyer, with the right strategic planning, the courts may help. But even if they can't, you just don't give up. Mm-hmm. You can't give up when the future of your children and your children's lives and safety is tend to hang in the balance. I represent a lot of military dads, and I had a case where this one military dad, and thank God he didn't give up, he trusted his wife to take care of their three children, and he didn't know she was having an affair, and she placed him in the care of her lover, who allegedly beat their youngest boy to death in front of the two daughters. Wow. Over a 48-hour period in a little room. Well, the Department of Children and Family Services, you would think, in that situation, would keep the surviving children away from the mother and the mother's family, and they did the exact opposite, placing the care of those two girls with the mom's family after they were locked in a little room watching their little baby brother being beaten to death. So this father didn't give up, and I fought for him, and I was able to get a court order transferring custody of the surviving children to him, and he's still in the Army, and he's the custodial parent, and the Army is supporting him. Obviously, he's not in combat anymore because he couldn't as a custodial parent without a mother to help him, but he's doing a great job as a soldier and as a father.
Well, I think that's really important, not giving up, and I'm so sorry to hear about that man's story, but I'm happy for the outcome of him getting custody of his remaining children so he could take care of them. But I think that's a theme for don't give up. Being on the other side of that, being a child from a divorced family and fathers that go wherever they're going to go and they may or may not show up, I think it's really important as a child to know that your parent never gave up. Even if it takes them many years or you don't hear about it until later, just knowing your parent never gave up in trying to make contact with you and see you, that is so important. I mean, they make movies out of this about, you know, after their custodial parent dies, they find all the letters that the father sent to this child trying to make contact, but they were never received. What a difference that makes to know that you were loved, you were cared about, even if you couldn't see them.
Exactly. I have a client, a father, a great man. He's a devout Catholic, a very good father, and he married a woman from Egypt, and she was a Muslim, and she took the two children to Egypt, and just disappeared. And the last I heard, she's teaching them this country is evil. And my client's devastated, but he's not giving up. And obviously with his children in Egypt, it's going to be a very difficult situation and a difficult problem, but he's not giving up, and he loves his two boys, and he's going to fight for them until he gets them back. But God forbid if he doesn't, at least one day they'll know he fought for them.
Jeffrey, I have brigadier generals in Egypt and Pakistan, all over the world. I can find any kid anywhere in any country in the world.
That sounds like we need to connect you two after the show here.
But, I have people all over the world, Jeffrey.
Well, what we're going to have to do is take a quick break. So attorney Jeffrey Leaving is our guest today, author and attorney. His newest book, Father's About Father's Rights, How to Be a Good Divorced Dad. We'll be right back with more Answers for the Family, so stand by.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shield specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Dr. Melody Fox right here on LA Talk Radio.
And we're back with more Answers for the Family. I'm your co-host today, Dr. Melody Fox, along with Logan Clark, who's sitting in for Alan Cardoza, who is out of the state doing, I don't know if he's at work or at pleasure, but he's not here with us, but you are, Logan. Thank you so much
again
for joining us. And our guest today is author and attorney Jeffrey Leaving, discussing father's rights in his new book, How to Be a Good Divorced Dad. Now, Jeffrey, we have a few listener questions I wanted to bring in and have you comment about for you. They came in. And one says, as a school counselor, increasingly children I work with are speaking out about anger they feel towards their fathers for leaving and not financially supporting the family. And it's obvious they are harboring a great deal of a resentment and emotion that's affecting their schoolwork and relationship with classmates. And this is a very sad situation that a person in my position can do a little about. What are your ideas and thoughts on that?
Well, there are fathers that walk away and there are fathers that are pushed away. I represent fathers that are pushed away, and I fight to reengage them in positive relationships with their children. There are dads that walk away, and when they walk away, often a good mental health professional or a minister could be very valuable to identify what the problems are that exist, because when dads walk away, emotionally, it could be very traumatic to children because they may feel rejected. That can cause depression, low self-esteem. It's terrible. Dads should never walk away. But there are situations where dads don't walk away, but their children believe they walked away through programming, deception, parental alienation. And it's very, very unfortunate. I have fathers I've represented who I've struggled to relocate their children, and their children have been brainwashed to believe their dads abandoned them when their dads didn't. Their dads had no idea where their children were even living. And there's one case where the mother changed the identities of the children and herself to destroy the relationship between the father and his children, and the children are taught that dad abandoned them when he wasn't. But there are different situations and different struggles and challenges, but when dads do walk away, That is really, really bad, and they shouldn't do that because children need responsible fatherhood. And when dads do walk away and children are father absent, that's terrible because children who live absent their biological fathers are more likely to suffer emotional and behavioral problems and become victims of child abuse and engage in criminal behavior. So father absence has a terrible effect on children, and fathers should never walk away. It's just terrible when they do that, and it's terrible when the system pushes fathers away that don't want to walk away and want to be there for their children.
Yeah, and, you know, looking at the other, I mean, the side of the child, too, is working with teen girls. I worked a lot with pregnant parenting teens. Almost every parent, pregnant and parenting teen that we had had an issue with their dad not being involved in their life for one reason or another. And like I said, I think that's the most important relationship that a father and daughter could have, or a daughter could have, is always that relationship with their father. And if they don't have that father to tell them they're good enough or they're involved in their life and they're important enough, then they go out and seek whoever's going to tell them they're beautiful and wonderful or whatever and be used and thrown away. I just see that way too often, and it breaks my heart to see that happen. But I have another listener question or comment. It says, I'm a divorced father of three children, ages 6, 9, and 12. My wife, a sales manager, was moved from California to Minnesota by her company, and the kids went with her. Given the enormous cost of alimony and child support I pay for their upkeep each month, I can't afford to go and see them or even bring them home to see me very often. 2 years have passed, and I feel I made a horrible mistake by letting her take them so far away, and seeing them a couple times a year is just breaking my heart. I just had another question to ask on top of that, is when that kind of situation happens, how much rights does a father have to say, no, you can't take them out of state, you can't take them with you?
Well, they do have rights. You have to look at the case and analyze the laws in the specific state the mother is seeking to remove the child from. For example, in Illinois, if there's a pending proceeding, or if there is a proceeding that was settled but still exists, and it's a divorce or a paternity case, the mother can't remove the children from the jurisdiction and go to another state or another country without permission from the court or the father's permission, or the mother could end up in jail. But the real key here is, one, any father in a case where the mother wants to use relocation as a parental alienation tool, the father should do everything possible to object to that legally, because that could be the beginning to the end of his relationship with his children. But if he fails to do that, as his father may have failed to do in this one specific case that we may be referring to here, there are ways to maintain contact with your children inexpensively through Skype. Mm-hmm. Skype is relatively inexpensive. Mm-hmm. There's something new that is called FaceTime now. And there are all types of new electronic tools and strategies to maintain contact with your children that didn't exist years ago. So these should be explored. But nothing takes the place of actually being with your children and being able to actually see them, opposed to looking at them on a monitor, on a laptop. Mm-hmm. So the real key here is you don't want the custodial parent to remove the children from the state to a distant state or another state, mm-hmm. unless it really is in their best interest. And from my experience, most removals are not based on the best interest of children, but the strategies to destroy father-child relationships.
Yeah, I'm seeing Logan shaking his head right along with you, agreeing with every word you're saying. So both of you have seen a lot of that. Now, you talked a moment about FaceTime and Skype and all that. With all this new technology, is that something that's getting written into, like, court orders, like in between visitation, that they could see their child on Skype for a half hour, say, twice a week?
Well,
or something?
It definitely should be, and that's something that could be very, very valuable. And in Illinois, I co-authored a law empowering judges to order electronic visitation. just to make sure there is no confusion. Because personally, I think that any judge should be able to award electronic visitation as well as other types of visitation. But just to make sure, I co-authored a new law that makes it crystal clear that in Illinois, a judge can do that.
Oh, that's wonderful. I don't know if we have anything like that in California yet. But I want to go back to your website, too, because I think it's such a wonderful, valuable source of information at dadsrights.com, dadsrights.com, because you have so many articles on it, on different things and advice and that you and your fellow attorneys have written, from father's rights must be protected to, you know, abortion when fathers can't protect their children, to forget ties, dads need respect. I mean, you have all these wonderful titles about, you know, fathers and father figures and making sure that connection is still there and how not to become, you know, labeled as a deadbeat dad. You know, it's just a wonderful resource. So I encourage everybody to go to your website and read some of these articles that you've written and your fellow attorneys have written along with you. Is there anything else that somebody needs to know about your website? Because I think it's just fantastic and a good source of information.
Well, dadsrights.com has a lot of good information in it, and it's useful to fathers all over the country. And it was very useful to a father in Los Angeles who I represented in children's court in L.A. Even though I'm based out of Chicago, I have represented fathers in Los Angeles. And the Los Angeles children's court was a very interesting court. I was pro hoc vitae'd in. And my opposing attorney, basically, I thought, was very valuable to me because he seemed so angry toward the judge, it probably made my job easier. Because I always believe you use honey before vinegar, especially in front of a judge. And I remember he didn't seem to be handling the judge the way I would have. But my client ended up getting his little boy, and he's doing a great job now as a father. And I wasn't too crazy about children's court because I remember when I showed up for the first court date, I tried to get some water out of the water fountain, and there was somebody who looked like a gangbanger sitting on the water fountain. So it looked like a pretty rough courthouse.
Welcome to L.A.
Pretty rough courthouse.
They protect the water fountains in this town.
Yeah, I didn't want to get beaten up trying to get some water, so I just forgot about it.
Well, you're talking about gangbangers, we're talking about society. That leads me to another question. What are some of the personal and societal effects that you think are directly attributed with divorce and family court policies, since we're talking about family court here, or children's court?
Well, family court policies have always been of concern to me because family court is very adversarial, and the adversarial nature of family court can be harmful to the mediation process, because when you have two parents that are in the middle of a war and they can be somewhat irrational, even though they could be wonderful people, because I represent a lot of great people, but I don't always see them sometimes when they're in their best state of mind, when they're looking at losing everything that's important to them. And when they're in this terrible litigation and then they're thrown in a system that's an adversarial system, it's sort of like throwing gasoline on the fire, and things can end up completely out of control. So I personally believe that the family court is much too adversarial, and mediation should be mandatory in every single case that's contested involving children before any litigation, unless it's an emergency.
Now, I was just curious, how important is it to involve the children's wishes of what parent that they're going to be with? Because a lot of times I see children that say, I don't understand why I can't live with so-and-so. My mom says I have to be with her, and the court says that.
Well, I do believe that the best interests of children are critical, but and the judge should always consider them, but the judge doesn't have to make a decision based on what a child wants. For instance, I worked on a case where the little boy wanted to be with the mom because she was a drug dealer and let the boy smoke marijuana. Well, obviously, that child's wishes should be heard but ignored, unless the judge was going to order the mother to submit to a psychological evaluation, then the child's wishes could be valuable in trying to get the mother the help she needs. But the court should always, in my opinion, consider the child's wishes, because they can be valid. You can't assume they're not valid. But if they are not valid, then they should be disregarded.
Mm-hmm. I found that, sometimes judges are, amazing how different they are. But I found judges, usually at the age of about 12 or 13, a lot of times they will take the child into chambers themselves and talk to the child at 12 or 13. And they seem to have a better understanding of what's better for them, albeit not the situation, that Jeffrey was just talking about with the kid that wanted the drugs. Mm-hmm. That stuff does happen. But don't you think, Jeffrey, that usually at 12 or 13, the kids pretty much have a good idea the best place for them to live?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Usually when a child's 12 or 13, he or she has a real good idea where he or she should live. Yeah. I agree with you 100%. Unfortunately, sometimes children are manipulative.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that the child isn't trying to manipulate his or her custodial arrangement so he could escape accountability and engage in unhealthy behavior. But I do agree with you.
Yeah. We only have a couple minutes left, and I was just curious, is there any other advice or anything else that you think, parents, particularly fathers that may be listening today, could take home with them besides going to get your new book?
Too many fathers are just loaded with guilt, and they believe that they're always the fault of the divorce. If it's a non-marital relationship, they tend to believe they're the cause of the breakup, even when it's not their fault. And this male guilt can be very unhealthy and very dangerous. So that is something that, as a lawyer, I generally use good mental health professionals for, because if I have a client that is going to act destructively, self-destructively because of guilt, that's when I may have to refer my client to a mental health professional. Another thing with dads, a lot of men tend to be attracted to the same type of woman. And I've been practicing law over 30 years, and I remember one of my first cases, this man told me he wanted a house. He didn't want to lose his home. So I handled the case successfully. He ended up getting the home, everything he wanted. And right after he was divorced, and I was able to secure the home, the children, but he was really focused on the home, he married another woman and transferred his interest in the home to her and lost it without even telling me. And then when I finally talked to him, when he ended up going through another divorce, I said, why didn't you tell me? I would have told you not to transfer the home to her. I worked very hard securing that home for you. And he said, well, I loved her. He said, well, you loved your other wife, too, before you were divorced. So that's when I realized the value of mental health professionals in guiding clients through this process and even after the process, so they don't end up targets looking for an arrow.
Absolutely.
And as a detective, if you're a parent and you are going through a divorce and your spouse is from another country and you have the slightest idea, thought at all that they're going to do a parental abduction, get to your lawyer, make sure you've got a lawyer that knows what they're talking about, like Jeffrey, and get some protection. There are things you can do. There are things that you can do to plan ahead so that it doesn't happen, because possession's 9/10 of the law. If they steal the child and get to a third world country, the job to get that child back is all uphill.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Logan. You both of you are so... your expertise in this area is just astonishing and amazing, but it comes from years and years of working in these cases and having a passion for the work that you're doing. So I want to thank you, Logan, for being with us today, filling in for Alan, and hopefully he'll be back with us next week. And Mr. Levine, Jeffrey Levine, you are amazing, the work that you're doing, and I can see why you're one of America's best lawyers. And thank you so much. And for those of our listeners that want more information, you can go to his website, dadsrights.com. Also, he's got three wonderful books. The first one, Father's Rights. He has also Divorce Wars. And his latest one, How to Be a Good Divorce Dad.
And there's an E on the end of Clark, and I'm at LoganClark.com.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, if you need a great detective and who works with child abductions all over the world, yeah, Logan is your man to go to. So we have the best attorney and the best detective, and hopefully that's the best for today. And thank you so much for joining us for Answers for the Family. And I know, Logan, there's some things that you're doing, but we'll need to talk about that another time. Okay. So thank you again, Jeffrey, leaving America's top attorney, best attorney for Answers for the Family.
And thank you.
Good night.
Listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio.
Raising children is a tough job. The job is even harder due to all the distractions, temptations, and dangers facing teens and their parents in our modern age. Some of these children are especially challenging and make such poor decisions as teens that their parents fear for their child's safety and future. I'm Mom Lee, and as an independent education consultant, with 22 years of practice as Woodbury Reports, we have worked to help hundreds of parents individually throughout the country who fear for their child's future. We also have an extensive website, strugglingteens.com, that provides as much objective information as we can to help parents. And we produce an LA Talk Radio show interviewing leading professionals who are helping parents right after Answers for the Family. If you have a child whose decisions make their future in doubt, and you are looking for help, you can call me at 208-267-5550, and I'll be glad to try to help you. Or check my website, strugglingteens, that's one word, .com.